famous last words. But I do have a thought that I want to share with you. If you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be on the screen. Starting in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Brother Grissom, would you pray?
God of heaven, we thank you tonight for your tender presence. We fill this house. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would break this bread, make it nourishment to our spirits tonight. God, and bless your messenger with liberty. And bless us, O God, with faith and courage to receive and to do your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I'm going to do my best, Sister Dickerson, to hold this microphone right in front of me so you can hear me. Amen. I get in trouble all the time. Amen. Well, out of you kids, how many of you love math? Y'all got to be telling you. That's another April Fool's joke right there. No. I, for one, do not like math. Even in elementary school, I was one of the ones when they would say, 5 + 5 = 10, I would say, who said 5 + 5 = 10? Somebody had to come up with that number. And so I'm thinking, well, if somebody just came up with that number, well, then who says everything else is what it is, especially when you get up into, trigonometry and geometry and all that stuff. Okay. I mean, this is not to go any further, but I don't use that stuff in day-to-day, so, trigonometry just does nothing for me, so. But I do have a little bit of a math lesson for us tonight. And so for me to be talking about math, it had to have been the Lord, because I do not like math whatsoever. Anybody ever heard of a term called an exponent? Exponents, you got it? All right. For those of you who don't know what an exponent is, it is basically the shorthand version of a multiplication. When you're multiplying 5 times 5 times 5 times 5, instead of writing out 5 times 5 times 5 times 5, you put a 5 and then you put a little bitty number up there and it says 4. That 4 is your exponent. All right. So let's go back to 5 times 5 times 5 equals 125. All right? But instead of writing all that, we're just going to put a 5 and a 3 up next to it. That's our exponent. The 5 becomes your base, and the little bitty number up there is the exponent. When you take that 5 and you put that little bitty exponent up there, What you're doing is called raising it to the power of that number. So in our example would be to the power of 3. So 5 to the second power, or 5 squared, would be 5 times 5, which is 25. 5 cubed is the 5 times 5 times 5. So anyway, you can do that as many times as you want. But there's one exponent you will not see because it's physically impossible. That's the exponent I want to talk about tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about raised to the power of 1. You can't raise anything to the power of 1 because you can't multiply a single number. If 5 times 5 is 5 squared or 2, you can't take a 5 and just make it 5 to the first. There's nothing there. You haven't multiplied it. So it's impossible mathematically to raise anything to the first power. Because you can't. But there is a way to raise something to the power of 1. We are extremely limited people. We operate in a physical world. Everything we do has to be physically done. Even in a computer age that we're in, somebody still had to build that program. Somebody still had to enter that data. Somebody is still having to monitor, and when something breaks, someone is still having to intervene. So everything that we do is still very much in a manual world. We have to put forth the effort. Our strength, our knowledge, our wisdom, everything that we know is a learned event, even though it's still a finite event. In other words, it has a beginning and it has an end. You can only go so far. It's a finite event. But if it weren't this way, we would all be like super geniuses walking around with super strength. I mean, we would be all powerful and all knowing. So we are finite objects. And as finite objects, we find ourselves in situations that sometimes we can't always overcome, or we can't get through, because we're finite. We don't have everything that it takes to get through it. And that's when people find themselves in trouble. Before I get ahead of myself, God is infinite. He's everlasting to everlasting. He's got all power in heaven and in earth. He is everywhere present at one time. He's infinite. There is no beginning and there will be no end to God. He is just that big and he is that powerful. There is no end. You can't contain God. You can't say there is a definite start and there is a definite ending to anything. So if we are finite people, but we serve an infinite God, when we put ourselves in the hands of that infinite God and we let him do what he wants to do, when we give him the authority to do what he wants to do, when we get out of the way and let God be God, we raise ourselves to the first power. There is no other power like God. You don't need to go to the second power. You don't need to go to the third power. Everything is in the first power. Amen. I love ushers who bring water.
Amen.
I bet it makes y'all thirsty. Amen. Well, in our previously mentioned exponential discussion, 5 alone could not turn itself into 125. We had to raise it to the power of 3. And man is no different. In order for us to ever become who it is that we're called to be, we have to be willing to raise ourselves to the first power. Well, Raymond, that's really good. That's good, cut and dry. Salt of the earth, I mean, run of the mill preaching right there. That is safe. You can't go wrong with that. However, Here's our problem. How often do we ever allow ourselves to be raised to the power of one? And I've got a lot of notes here. I doubt I'll ever get to it. Because I was thinking a while back, and it's been preached, and if you have missed any of the last maybe month's worth of services here, you have missed some absolutely rich, I'm talking pure gold stuff. It's that way anyway, but this last month has just been, it's just been awesome. And it's been said more than once, we've got to get out of the rut. We've got to get out of ourselves, all right? So, if everything that I've said is true so far, which I believe it is, or I would be in very big trouble standing behind this wooden desk, everything I've said so far is true, but we still are human. We're still finite creatures. We're still humans wrapped in flesh. We've still got emotions. We've still got thoughts. We've still got a lot of stuff going on in our heads that sometimes stops us from going any further. And this is really important. I want the young people, as we head into Holiday Youth Convention, I really want you to get a hold of this. You can do, if God has called you to do anything. I had a really dear friend of mine tell me something a few years ago. Never forgot it. This person didn't know me all that well when they told me this, but it was the unction of the Holy Ghost. And this person even admitted that she was supposed to tell me this some time ago, previous to this, but she just didn't. And so one night we were at Whataburger, and she turned around and she said, I'm going to tell you something. God has called you, but you're running. You've got to stop running. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. In other words, in order for you to do great things for God, you don't already have to be some mega preacher, some mega singer. You don't already have to be a prayer warrior that can just touch somebody and cancers are released and demons are released. You don't have to be that already. All he's wanting is that base, that basic form that he can raise to the power of one. Amen. When that person told me that, like I said, I've never forgotten it. But being that we are creatures of habit, creatures of flesh, we find ourselves in ruts, even in church, even in the spiritual realm, even in our daily activities. We hear preaching as pure gold as it is, and we walk out of there and never change. This is a personal message. It's a congregational message. If we are ever going to do what God has called us to do in this hour, if we're ever going to see the revelation of prophecy that has been sent forth over this pulpit, if there's ever going to be a time where our family and our friends, Brother Hart said something that absolutely killed me the other night. He said, sometimes I think God is more concerned with the salvation of our family members and our friends than we are. Yes, sir. Right. That's a rut. That's danger zone. That's where we find ourselves. That's when we have to be willing to raise ourselves to the power of one. Nobody should be more concerned about your husband, your wife, your child, your son, your daughter. Nobody should be more concerned about those people than you are. Amen. There should be nobody more concerned about these young people than their parents and this church. There should be no one more concerned with the spiritual nature of this city than this church right here. This is our mission field. Athens is the mission field that we've been called to. If anybody's going to reach Athens, it's going to be a young person. It's going to be an older saint. It's going to be a congregation that says, I'm going to raise myself to the power of one. We've got people that are in bondage to drugs. We've got people that are in bondage to pornography. We've got people that are in bondage to alcohol. We've got people that are just pouring over with spiritual demonic possession. And if anybody can reach them, it's going to be the one who was raised to the power of one. In other words, in order for us to do it, we've got to step up our game. You've got to kick it up a notch. Young people, let's talk about Moses a little bit. When Moses was just an infant, he was saved from destruction. And he grew up in a land that was foreign to him. It was not his home. It was not his people. But he was brought up in that land and in those surroundings. And it came a day in his life when he had to make a decision. He saw his own people being beaten and killed. And he made a decision. He didn't know it, but he made a decision. He was already on his way to kick it up a notch and raise to the power of one. He defended his people, and he killed that guard. He killed that soldier, and he hid his body, and then he got in trouble. Somebody saw him and threatened to rat on him, so he ran. Well, doesn't Moses sound like a fine apostolic young person, raised in church, and then he's going to do something like that? Look at him run. You better be careful when you start knocking people off just because they fall. Because you don't know what's coming down the road for that young person or that person, period. Amen? And so later on we find Moses, and he's out because he's ran from life. He's ran from his problems. He's ran from his mistakes. He's out there in the countryside raising sheep. Went from a palace to a pasture because of a mistake. But then God said, hey, Moses, he got his attention by a burning bush. God will get your attention somehow. Will you answer when he does it? How creative was it? A bush that was on fire that didn't burn. How creative was that? But it got his attention. Don't overlook some things that may look crazy in your life, because God could be trying to get your attention with something. But let's go back to Moses. He went and he said, don't come any closer. You're on holy ground. And then he starts to lay out a plan. He said, Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. They're hurting. They're sad. They're in bondage. They're getting beaten. They're tired. And I'm going to save them. And that's where our text stops. Well, he wasn't done, though. He goes on to say, Moses, I'm going to send you. In fact, did I get that part written down? Yeah, he said, come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people from the children of Israel out of Egypt. This is the same little boy that got in trouble, and then he ran away from all of his trouble. Many, 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 many years later, he's out doing his thing, and God said, hey, I remember you and what you did, but I've still got something for you to do. I've chosen you to bring my people out of bondage. Well, being a finite person, he started coming up with some crazy excuses. He's like, Lord, no, thank you, but no thank you. You know, could you please send anybody else but not me? And God just kept going. He said, well, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to send you. I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to tell you everything that you need to know. And Moses was still, Lord, thank you, but who am I that Pharaoh would listen to me? I killed one of his people. I'm the one that sinned against Pharaoh. Who am I? And then God just kept going. He said, and I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell him? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you're going to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And he just keeps going. But Moses is still a man. And he's thinking, Lord, thank you. Moses said to the Lord, oh, Lord, I have never been an eloquent speaker, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. He's still whipping out excuses. Not only have I killed one of his men, I grew up in his house. I took off and ran and haven't been seen or heard from in 60 years. And now, for nothing else, Lord, I have a speech problem. I can't even talk right. And you want me to go to Pharaoh. Does that not sound like some people who are running from a calling? When God says something, in my past, there was this. In my past, there was that. And look, Lord, you know, I can't run in a marathon. I've only got one leg. Well, he can grow you another leg. But we still limp around spiritually, coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse. And the whole time, God is still going, telling you his plan, telling you what he's going to do for you. Amen. But he kept going. And finally, the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. Now go. I will help you speak. And I will teach you what to say. What more of a promise could he want? God has said, I will tell you what to say. I'll teach you what to do. Just go. But Moses said, oh, Lord, please someone else. Send someone else to do it. Moses was afraid. He was unwilling to raise himself to the power of one. But oh, wait, Moses was a great man. Get what God had to do. He finally said, okay, all right, I get you. I'll send your brother with you. I'll send Aaron with you. And because you have this speech problem that you're so wrapped around, he will be the one who speaks. But I'm not going to talk to Aaron. I'm going to talk to you. And you tell Aaron what I said. He said that he will be as your mouth and you will be as God to him. Because I'm going to tell you what to say. He wasn't getting out of this. And so we can read the story, and I tell you, it spans maybe 8 or 9 chapters. They go to Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron. Aaron does the talking. Pharaoh says no. There's a plague, and this happens 10 times over. And it wasn't until the last time when the plague of death hit the camp that Pharaoh finally said, get out of my house. Take your children, take everything you got, and go. And so they go. But then as soon as they got outside the city limit, Pharaoh said, changed my mind. All right. Well, Moses got to the point where Moses was told to have the people camp by the Red Sea. They didn't know that Pharaoh was on their tracks. But when they did see that Pharaoh was on their tracks, boy, the cry went up. What have you done to us now? You brought us here. We told you to leave us alone when we were in Egypt. But you wouldn't listen. You kept coming back. And look what you've brought us out, sure, but now we're going to die. Pharaoh is behind us and the water's ahead of us. What are we going to do? You know what God said? I like this part. I didn't print it out in the NIV version, or maybe I did. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. In other words, don't let them stop. Don't let them go back into the hands of the enemy. Don't cry unto me, go forward. And then he told Moses, take your rod, stretch it out, and command the waters to part. And when he did, it wasn't Aaron, who stretched his rod out. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't the elders that stretched their hand out over the ocean. It wasn't anybody else. It was Moses who took his rod and stretched it out over the waters. It was Moses who did it. Nobody else. And because of that, the waters, the winds began to blow, and the waters began to part, and the ground became dry. And the next morning, they were able to cross over on dry land. And then when they got on the other side, he said, put your arm back over. And he stretched it back, and the waters came crashing in, wiped the Egyptian army and Pharaoh completely away. Well, that's a great story. Love the story of Moses. How in the world does it apply to me? There are people of God. You know, God created everyone in his image. And it's not his will that any should perish. There is a children of God still in bondage. And he's talking to some people, some young people. And he's calling you to do some things that you look and you say, I can't do that. I wasn't raised in church, so I don't know all the Pentecostal low jargon. I can't speak it like you guys speak it. I don't know what it is. And then there's some people that are, some young people and some middle-aged people and some saints that are saying, yeah, but you understand, see, back in my past, I did some pretty horrible things. So God couldn't possibly use me to bring out these people that are in bondage. But he, if that was the case, if that was the disqualifying factor, the children of Israel would still be in bondage. He looked beyond the faults. He looked beyond everything that was wrong. He knew what Moses did, and he knows what you've done. He's calling some people to raise themselves to the power of one. Young people, just because you're young, every day that you walk into your school, every day that you're with your unsaved family, you are walking into a mission field.
Yes, sir.
David was just a young man. And he went out to the battlefield when all the men were hiding. And he said, is there not a cause? He heard the enemy berating and making fun of the armies of God, making fun of God himself. And he said, is there not a cause here? Is there not something worth fighting for? And there was. And it was one little boy, young man, however you want to say it, that brought down a giant. And then when that giant fell, you should have seen the children, the army of God, come after them boys, send them running. I mean, they took off running. It was one young person. One young person. It was one young person who, when they saw the temple being defiled with sexual lust, it was one young person that picked up a spear and said, not in this house. And he took that spear and he ran it right through both of them. It was one young person. It was one young person who decided, I've had enough of the status quo. I've had enough of everything. I've had enough of not having what God wants me to be. I'm tired of just sitting here. And that goes for all of you. God has called all of us. We've said it many, many times. When the choir's up here, we tell them, you are ministers of music. You are the one ministering to the congregation. You let God work through you. And I would challenge the church to do the same thing. This isn't a pastor one and a pastor two. This isn't the pastors and the church leadership going out and doing all the work. This isn't the ladies baking for no other reason than just to make the house pretty, to have things for the church to do. This isn't just a thing that's kept within the four walls of this building. We've got to get out there, and if you're scared to go out there, and I am not the first one to walk up to somebody and say, hey, Have you heard about the Lord? It's not the easiest thing for me, but if I want to be what God wants me to be, I've got to raise myself to the power of one. The Bible says that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you're lacking power, let's check ourselves. Are we full of the Holy Ghost? Because there's a boldness that comes with the Holy Ghost. God's not going to call you out into an area where he's not already made a way for you. He said, what if nobody will listen to me? What if nobody will listen to you? Do what God says to do. Amen. Just like the preacher that was told to stop out in the middle of the desert and preach. Couldn't see anything. But there was a man under the overpass who heard it all. He didn't see him. He didn't know he was even there, but he preached. So when God tells you to do something and you don't see an effect, or if you don't see something, the cause of it, the return of it, don't let that scare you. Do it. Because God's going to do something. He's going to take your effort, your obedience. He's going to take everything that you're giving him, and he's going to magnify it. Same thing goes for those of us tonight that are here. And maybe there's something, church folks, our guests, whatever, I don't care who you are, nobody is immune to sin. I'll tell you what, well, I'm not going to go so bold, but the church folks are really good at hiding their sin. That's a blanket statement, covers every denomination, every church. Nothing to be said right here. But tonight, there are some in the house that you've battled something that you just can't break. Maybe you're tired of living in sin. Maybe you've tried to lay down that sin. Maybe you're trying to lay down that weight. Maybe you're trying to understand something that you just can't get. Maybe you have trouble understanding the mercy of God. Maybe you're trying to understand how this all works, how Jesus' name baptism really operates, how the Holy Ghost really works. And because if you've got so many doubts and so many questions, you're holding yourself back. Maybe you're beating your head against the wall every night when you leave service saying, God, I want the Holy Ghost. I want to receive the Holy Ghost, but there's something holding me back. I can't figure it out. What is it? And you try and you try and you try. You go to all the conferences. You go to all the services, and you can't do it. There's still some people in this church that have never spoken in tongues. That's a promise of the Lord. That's not something that you get to do. That's a promise of the God that you can claim. That is your promise. That is something that you should be able to experience. There should be nothing that holds you back. But there are still chains holding people. Tonight is your night. Because you can raise yourself to the power of one. Because that power, the one, is here tonight. Jesus Christ, the one and the only, is in this place tonight. And I may not be an eloquent speaker, neither was Moses, but we're going to get the job done because God is wanting to do something for us tonight. If you want to, if our music, I told you I wasn't going to be long. It's the shortest I've ever been up here. But it doesn't matter. I could preach for an hour. I could preach for 15 minutes. God will do what he wants to do when you let him do what he wants to do. There is one power in this place. The power to set you free. The power to save. The power to lift you up out of your depression. The power to light your path when it seems dark. The one power is in this place tonight. And I am inviting anyone and everyone tonight to come to the altar. It could be something simple. It could be something huge. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody around you. You know, and God knows. If you've got something that you're battling, if you've got something that you need help with, or if you just want the strength and the boldness to kick your game up a notch or two. If you want to be that soul winner, if you want to be the prayer warrior, if you want to be the preacher that God is calling you to be, step up your game tonight. Let's come to the altar. Let's let God do in our lives what he wants to do. Amen. If you don't feel like coming to the altar, that is fine. If you want to find a place to pray there in your pew, I would ask you to do that. If you don't feel like doing anything else, just pray for those around you and those that are seeking for something of God tonight. Amen.